starting out Parshas Devarim because there's no John. I'm going to try to make it a little bit shorter, a little bit different this time, more than anything else. This is going to be it's going to be a little bit different from everything else. Eilat Devarim Hashem Dibur Moshe Al Kol Yisrael. These are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke. Parshas Devarim is the strangest by far. It's a speech. It's one long speech, obviously dictated by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it seems to be Moshe Rabbeinu just speaking to Bnei Yisrael with the laws added in the middle. The Eber Yarden, where were they? On the other side of the Jordan River, the east side of the Jordan River, by Midbar, in the desert, Baal Rava, near Baal Peor, Mol Suf, opposite Yam Suf, Bein Parn Uvein Tofel, between the cities of Parn and Tofel, the Lavan, the Chatzeros, the Dizahav, and the cities of Lavan, Chatzeros, and Dizahav. It's a lot of information, but it's not like telling you anything. You're missing out on everything here. Like, well, what in the world are these five cities and what are they doing? Plus, we don't know any place called Dizav anywhere. We don't know any place called Lavan. So what in the world is going on here? Okay, so Rashi says that Chatzeros refers to Machlokes Shel Korach. Lavan, Tuffel the Lavan, says Rabbi Yochanan looked throughout the entire Pesukim, he never found anywhere called Tuffel and Lavan. He says rather it's that there were Tuflu Al Haman that was made white. So Tuffel the Lavan refers to the Mun which was white. They complained about the Mun. Chatzeros refers to Adas Korach. They complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about Korach, with Korach. V'dizahav refers to the Egel Azov. They did the Egel Azov. The question is obvious. Why would he put the Egel Azov last? If you're going to do complaining about the Mun, then you can do the Machlokas of Korach, then you do the Egel Azov? It's off. The Egel Azov should have been first. Should have been before anything else. So why was the Egel Azov last? Why is it put over here? Okay, so here we go. When the Egel was done, Moshe Rabbeinu had two ways of getting out of any issues that you could possibly have, getting Bnei Yisrael out of trouble. Two different ways of getting Bnei Yisrael out of trouble. You made the golden calf, but you're still okay because of the two following reasons. Number one, Kadosh Baruch Hu said the words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That means, I am Hashem, your God, singular. He should have said, Ani Hashem, Elokeichem. That's what he should have said. Should have been the words Elokeichem instead of the word Elokecha. Elokecha is the Yachid. It's a Lashon Yachid, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu could have complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In theory, Bnei Yisrael could complain. They didn't think that the Atzeres HaDibros was meant for them. They thought it was meant for Moshe Rabbeinu, and that when they got on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, then they would get the Atzeres HaDibros. But they honestly could have that claim that they didn't know that all this was referring to them right now. Or they could say that when is Bnei Yisrael considered like a singular being? When is it like that? Only at what point? When Bnei Yisrael is Achdus, when they're considered like one. But Yichan Neged Ahor means, and he camped by the mountain, one person. It counts as one person altogether. All of Bnei Yisrael counts as one person, because they had Achdus. But if there's a time when Bnei Yisrael complaining or doing something stupid, then they don't have that Achdus, and that means that there's tons of people, which means they don't have the application of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So here's Bnei Yisrael's Haina. It could be that Anochi Hashem Elokecha doesn't apply to us. Because it could be that at the time when they're doing the Egel Azov, not everybody was together. Some people said, this is silly. Some people were saying, this is the real Avodah Zarah. Some people were saying, it'll just be an intermediary between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because of that, they weren't Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad, so it didn't work B'Lashon Yachid, which means that the whole line wouldn't apply to them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't punish them. That was Taina number one, claim number one. Claim number two, remember that Bnei Yisrael is holier than anything you could possibly imagine. These are not fools. These are not idiots. They know what they're doing. It's called Dor Dea. The word Dizahav is strange. Does anybody remember the line of Rashi that he uses for Dizahav? Why Dizahav refers to the Egel Azov? But what does that mean? Die. Very good. Enough gold. You gave them too much gold, says Moshe Rabbeinu. They didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know what to do with the gold. So they used it for the Egel Azov. Who in the world has ever said, when they had money, that's all I need? Who's ever done that? Who's ever said, like, no, I'm done, please, don't give me more. I just don't want any more money. It's a famous story, but it's mamish, like, it's all out there, where I don't remember who the Rav was, but it's brought down in Makos, toward the end of Chav Gimel, that Rabbi Oven, I think it was, but I can't remember who it was. But the person came into the store, and he said to the person who owned the store, I want to buy this for a certain amount. He said, let's say, $50. So the guy didn't say anything because he was in the midst of saying Kriya Shema. So the guy thought, he wants a higher price. He said, all right, I'll give you $60. But he was still saying Kriya Shema. He didn't answer. He said, all right, $75. He didn't answer. He's like, you drive a hard bargain. I'll give you $100. And he kept going up. When he finished Kriya Shema, he stopped and he said, give me $50. When you said the original price, even though now you're up to $750, give me the 50. Because all I wanted, as soon as you set that price, I said, that's it. That's what I'm going to give it to him for. So I went for that price. That's a person who does that. Only a holy person can be able to say to enough gold, I don't want any more gold. I can't do anything else with this. But a normal person is never going to do that. But Nasal and the Midbar weren't normal. They weren't normal. There were people who were extremely chashuv. They weren't known as B'nai Yaakov at that time. They were B'nai Yisrael or even Yeshurun. And the line is, Vayishman Yeshurun, that when Yeshurun gets too much, Vayiva, they kick back. They say, like, I can't take this anymore. They start doing other things. Because normally they're mistopic b'muat. They're okay with the little bit that they have, and that's good enough. I don't have challenge. I'll be okay with crackers. That's good enough for me. And they're fine with that. And they live with that. And that's perfectly fine. That's what it means to be mistopic b'muat. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them wagons and donkey loads full of gold, they literally had no idea what to do with it. It's a day's off. I have enough of this. So they didn't know what to do. So says Moshe Rabbeinu, you caused them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have a little bit more gold than what they normally would have had. And thus, they did the Egel Azov. So it's your fault, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they did what they did, what they did with the Egel Azov. So two things, those two claims worked, that Bnei Yisrael were not destroyed. Moshe Rabbeinu was listened to, and Bnei Yisrael was not destroyed. But soon afterward, those arguments fell apart. Because let's think for a second. If Bnei Yisrael are mistopic b'muad, says the Chassam Sofer, if they're okay with only the little bit that they have, then how in the world could they complain about the man? What were they complaining about? You have everything you want. Now granted, the little white fluffy thing doesn't really taste like other food. It gives you a taste, if you want it to be able to taste like anything you wanted when you put it in your mouth, but it really tastes like a marshmallow. And if you didn't think of anything, it might have been like honey. Chofetz Chaim says it tastes like nothing. Because something that's ruchnius can't have a taste. It doesn't have anything in gashmius. So what were they complaining about? If that was good enough, and that was enough for them to be able to survive, and they didn't eat anything else, how could you complain about the man? Must be that they're not mistopic b'muad. If they're not mistopic b'muad, then what happened with the gold? You can't complain that I had enough gold and you gave me too much. It's not true. You're not mistopic b'muad when it comes to the man. If you want more food, like this love, then you obviously want more gold and all the other things that come with it. That means that taina number two is thrown off completely. All of a sudden, the Egel Azov became a real chet. But you still have the first taina. You still have that first taina, that first claim, and you're still okay. Because technically, Anochi doesn't apply to them. But the problem is, what was Korach's taina to Moshe Rabbeinu? Kola Eila, Kola Eida, Kulam Kedoshim. Every Jew is holy, said Korach. Why, says Rashi? We all heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha. We all heard Lo Yelech Elohim Acherim Al Panai. All of us were together on this one. It wasn't just you, Moshe Rabbeinu. Me, and you, and everybody else here heard it. So we're all equal. We don't need a leader. All of us are the same when it comes to something like this. Every single one of us are the same. That was Bnei Yisrael's sign. Kikola Eida Kulam Kedoshim. We heard those first two Dibros at Har Sinai. And yet, they made the Egel anyway. And yet, they still made the Egel Azov. Why? They heard the Dibor. Must be that there wasn't a real Taina. It wasn't a real claim. So these two Chataim, complaining about the Mon, and then Aras Korach, messed them up. That's what messed them up. Now the Egel Azov became a chait. The Egel Azov wasn't a chait up until now. They had tainas up until now. But after they were tuffel on the lavan, tuffel, they complained about the white mun, and then they had Aras Korach. Now Dizahov becomes a chait. Now the gold really becomes something. Now you've got a problem. That's why he brings up Egel Azov right here. It's a combination of Chassam Sofer and the Maral Diskin. Listen, when a person sins, you design your own punishment. You make it up yourself and no one else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts you in a situation where you paskin your own din every single time. I don't remember the exact Maimer Chazal. I spent a long time last night trying to look it up and I couldn't find the exact Maimer Chazal. But the wording is, you're a dayan la'atzmo. You are a dayan for yourself. Meaning, if you go ahead and do something which you knew was wrong, but you were like, I think it's somewhat mutter, I think I can get around it, I think I can do this and get around it, and everything should be fine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to put you in a position where you see someone doing the exact same thing, and it depends on what you say about that guy. Are you going to say, that guy is a big Russia? Or that makes you a Russia? Or are you going to say, that guy's also exotic? He must have that heter in mind. And then, you just poskin on yourself that you're all good. We learn that from Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Beis. After David Melech had Uriah, it's a long story, but after Uriah was married to Bathsheba, when he took Bathsheba, after Uriah was in war, if everybody remembers correctly, he sent Uriah on a wild goose chase to go back home. He wouldn't go back home, so then he sent him on the front lines. Uriah Achiji was killed. So David HaMelech was blamed by Nathan HaNavi. Nathan HaNavi came to him with a prophecy and a mashal. And he said the following, here's the mashal. The mashal was, there's a rich man and a poor man. The rich man had tons of sheep and tons of goats and tons of cows. Everything that you can imagine. The poor man only had one little kibbutz, one little lamb. That's all she had. All he had, just one little shepherd that he raised and he gave everything to and he kept it. And he loved this kapsa. Loved the kapsa more than anything else in his life. The rich man had a big guest that came to his house, and instead of sacrificing from any of his sheep or any of his goats or any of his cows, he took that little sheep, said Nathan HaNavi. And he shechted it and he served it to his guest. Tell me, said Nathan HaNavi to David HaMelech, what's the halacha by such a man? And David HaMelech said, such a man should be killed. How could he take away the little sheep from that poor man? How could he do such a thing? Said Nathan HaNavi, that was you! You did that to Uriah. Uriah was the one who had the kapsa. He had Bathsheba. You were the one who did it. This is straight out psukim and perek yud beis. David HaMelech paskined his own din. Said Uriah, now you have to do tshuva. And just tshuva is not enough. You're going to have a child that's going to die because of this. And the first child that was born from Bathsheba died. Because why? Because David HaMelech paskined his own din. You don't realize what things that certain heterim that I give for one thing couldn't end up being a steer the other way. For example, the perfect example was smoking on Yom Tif / smoking on a fast day. Why are you allowed to smoke on Yom Tif? It's called Ochel Nefesh. It's called something that you need. It's like food that you have on Yom Tif. That's what they claim. So you're allowed to smoke on Yom Tif. Problem is, then how are you allowed to smoke on a fast day? If it's Ochel Nefesh, then it's considered somewhat like food. That means you're drinking something. If you're drinking something, then it would be also to do on a fast day. So if you go ahead and you say it's mutter for me to smoke on a fast day, then you can't smoke on Yom Tif. If you say you're allowed to smoke on Yom Tif, then you can't smoke on a fast day. You can't do it. It's a stir mina yubay. You're paskening on yourself. You're telling yourself what to do. You're saying what you want to do. That's the problem. When B'nai Yisrael goes ahead and starts saying things like Shikola Eda Kulam Kedoshim, that we're all holy and we all deserve all these great things, just know you're posking on yourself. You're the Rav. You're the big Talmud Chacham. You're the Tzaddik. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to treat you like a Tzaddik. And that's dangerous. You don't always want that. The fact is, says Rav Shor, nobody tries hard enough. This is such an unbelievable story. But the line is by the Meraglim. It's in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Vav. The Meraglim are mentioned in this week's Parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them that you all came up to me, and I thought it was a good idea. I thought it was a great idea to send out spies. I thought that you guys had it the right way, and we'll speak about that soon. In Pasuk Vav it says, V'lo avisem lalos, and you didn't want to go up to Eretz Yisrael. But tamru el espi Hashem elokeichem, and you rebelled against the mouth of Hashem your God. You didn't want to go up. No, that's not true. But Israel did want to go up. But they said, we're not able to go up because we're too strong. Is there any place where it says Bnei Yisrael didn't want to go up? In Shlach or over here? It doesn't say that. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, you didn't want to go up. But it's not true. Bnei Yisrael said, we can't. Ki chazaku mimenu. They're too strong. They're going to be able to destroy us. We can't do it. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu saying? You didn't want to go up. They did want to go up. They just couldn't. Okay. The story goes the following. Reb Zusha Mianipoli. Has anyone, you've heard of Reb Zusha? Any good story, Reb Zusha's in it. It's either the Baal Shem Tov, and it's a little strange, there's Kvitzah Derech involved, or there's Reb Zusha, and something awesome happens. Reb Zusha Mianipoli was once walking, just mamish, the most biggest unav of any of the Talmidim that you can imagine. Reb Zusha was walking, and he saw a wagon that was overturned. The wagon was overturned, and the haystacks that were on top of the wagon, the hay was all over the ground. There was a non-Jew wagon driver who was trying to lift up the bales of hay and put them back on the wagon. He saw Reb Zusha and said, hey, can you come and help me? Can you come and help me put the bales of hay back in the wagon? Reb Zusha looks at the bales of hay, looks at his muscles, and he says, like, there's no way I'm going to be able to lift it. This stuff is so hard, so heavy, there's no way. I'm not going to be able to do it. So the guy looked at him, the wagon driver looked at him and said, yes, you can, you just don't want to. Reb Zusha immediately said to himself the following. He said, do you hear what he's saying, Reb Zusha? This is a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can help HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's fallen down to the ground. You can lift HaKadosh Baruch Hu up off the ground and bring him back to Shemayim and bring him back to the level of the Beis HaMikdash. You just don't want to. You're not trying hard enough in your Avodas HaKodesh, Reb Zusha. You're not trying hard enough to make everything happen. You just don't want to, said Reb Zusha to himself. This is the pshat. The hay, which is even in Yiddish is called hay, is the hay, letter hay, of Yud Hey Vav Hey. The last hay of the Shem of Havaya, of Yud Hey Vav Hey, stands for Ratzon, for the willpower that a person has. And if a person doesn't have the willpower, then he can't do anything. So Hashem, that hay is on the ground. And Rabbi Zusha is saying the hay is sitting there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting there. He so wants me to lift up that hay. He wants me to use my ratzon and want to do it. And if I want to do it, you know what you can do? You can do anything. I saw a video years ago of a guy who was caught underneath the things of a helicopter. And a person lifted up the helicopter to be able to bring that guy up. You can see it on the video. It's the most unbelievable thing you've ever seen before in your life. There's adrenaline that just rushes within you that when you really want to do something, you can do anything. The whole idea of Bisya Bas Paro reaching out to get Moshe Rabbeinu, is that ridiculous? Ridiculous. He's 60 amos away. And Bisya Bas Paro is like lifting, she's like, I can get him. I can get him. And all of a sudden her arm just stretches. Why would she do it in the first place? She's not Gumby. What in the world is she thinking? Why was she stretching her hand out? The pshat is that she doesn't have to be Gumby. She can try. And if she tries, then who knows what's going to happen. But you got to try. You got to use your ruts, and you got to be willing to go ahead and do it and try it. Then all of a sudden you have no idea what's going to end up happening. You have no idea what could possibly happen. That's the idea behind it. So that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to say to Klal Yisrael. You think, you know, you can't go into Eretz Yisrael? You can't fight these huge nations? You can't go up against the giants? You're liars! You can! You just don't want to! It's the greatest Moshe you could possibly hear from somebody. It's that you didn't want to go up, and you could have gone up, and you messed up. And you didn't. That's the problem. It's always there. And it's the famous line that did the colloquial... when there's a will, there's a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. That's the idea behind it. Okay. Speaking of the will, there's one thing that happens at the end of the parsha that's so strange. It's the only time in the Torah that it does it, and it's only mentioned twice in the entire Chumash. After it goes through Og and Sichon, they destroyed all the lands in the Eber HaYarden. Bnei Yisrael took over all those lands. Og is gone. Sichon is gone. The huge giants with Og and Sichon's sons were supposed to be even stronger than they were. But Og himself, I mean, Og is Eliezer of Abraham, as we said before. Og from the Sacks of Sofer and from everywhere else that we've learned. Og is Eliezer of Abraham. We're talking about a person who is the Shamesh of Avram Avinu. A Shamesh of Avram Avinu that was going ahead. There's no one more powerful than Og. And Og and Sichon and the rest of the giants are there. They're all around there and they're unbelievable. Powerful, and Bnei Yisrael destroys them, decimates them, takes care of their land, takes over everything. And all of a sudden it says, I'm going to give this over to Reuben and Gad, because that's what they were promised, and Chatzis Shev Menasheh gets it a little bit further, and it says, Rakna Sheikhim, etc., Adashir Yaniach, Chop Aleph, that's Yoshua Tzivesi Boizehi, and I commanded Yoshua at that time, Lemor, a Nakal Rose is called Shurasa Hashem Alekhem Moshne Malachim Eila. You see, your eyes see everything that God did to these two kings. Kain Yas Hashem Lekolam Amalacha Shurata over Shama. So too God will do to all those kingdoms when you pass over there in Eretz Yisrael. Lo Ti Rom, Ki Hashem Alekhem Wa Niyochem Lekhem. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of anything because that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to fight for you. It is the only place in Chumash where Yoshua is spelled with an extra vav. Yud Hey Vav Shin Vav Ayin. No other place does it mention it, Yoshua. Anybody know how many times his name appears in the entire Chumash? It's also a little bit unbelievable. 30. We're going to get to that in a second. The 30th time, this isn't the 30th, one of the times is Yoshua with two Vavs. Why do you have Yoshua with two Vavs? Why would you add on an extra Vav over here? Okay. In one place, Nehemiah Parches, he's known as Yoshua, without the Hey. Now it's weird. Yud Vav Shin Ayin. That's strange. Why would he take out the Hey? Take out the Yud. Because Moshe Rabbeinu added on the Yud. Everybody knows his original name was Hoshea Ben Nun. Right? So it was Hoshea Ben Nun. So why would you go ahead and take out the Hey, take out the Yud, change his name back to Hoshea? Why would you make it Yoshea? What would it be Hoshea? So that's in Parakat and in Nehemiah. And over here it's doubled. So what's going on here? What's the connection between the two? So there's a Gemara. Erchin Lamed Bezim Abez. This is what the Gemara says in Erchin Lamed Bezim Abez. The reason Yeshua is missing a hay is because he didn't daven to be mevatel the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. Everyone knows that Anshe Knesset Gedolah, after the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Anshe Knesset Gedolah, including Mordechai and Ezra and Nehemiah, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Daniel, the famous great Gedolim of those times, the Nevi'im, they got up and they went to the base, to the second Beis Hamikdash toward the very beginning, and they said, we're going to destroy the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. That Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah will be gone. There will be be nothing left of that Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. And they saw this lion of fire that came out. This huge lion of fire that came out from the Beis HaMikdash that went out. That was the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. They saw unbelievable things there. And the complaint was, why didn't Yeshua get rid of it when he was there, when he came into Eretz Yisrael? That was the complaint. Why didn't Yeshua do it? Says the Gemara. Well, Yeshua, what do we complain about him? What about Moshe Rabbeinu? Says the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have schus to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't daven for that because he didn't have the schus of Eretz Yisrael. But Yeshua had the schus of Eretz Yisrael. How could you not daven to destroy Avodah Zarah? How could you not daven for that? And had he davened for it, can you imagine what Bnei Yisrael would have been like? Had there been no Avodah Zarah during the times of the first Beis HaMikdash? There would have been nothing wrong. Bnei Yisrael only did Arayas and Shvichus Damin because of Avodah Zarah. They got involved in that stuff. Why didn't Yeshua daven for it? Because of that, a letter was taken out of his name. A hay was taken out of his name to give a little bit of kavod to Moshe Rabbeinu because he gave the yod. The hay was taken out of his name because he didn't daven for Bnei Yisrael. Here's what happened. If that's what made him lose a letter, what would make him gain a letter? It would be the ability to daven to get rid of Avodah Zarah. Where did Yeshua have the ability to daven for Bnei Yisrael to get rid of Avodah Zarah? It's right here. After Og and Sichon were destroyed, Yeshua should have gotten rid of it immediately when he went into Eretz Yisrael. But what was Yeshua worried about? He said, I've got wars to fight. And Yeshua always thought to himself, I'm sitting there, and I'm in charge of this war, and I've got to make sure that everybody's going this way, and everybody's going that way, and this is happening, and that's happening. I'm the general. I'm the guy in charge. Said Yeshua, I don't have time to get rid of the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. I've got no time for this. I've got to work in the army. I've got to work in all the wars. I've got to do all this stuff. So I don't have time to get rid of the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. And as soon as he finished the wars, Yeshua died. So he never had time to get rid of the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. Said a Kadosh Baruch Hu, great call. But it's not true. You didn't have to fight. I told you, right over here, that just like I destroyed those two malachim. I am going to destroy every nation. So there's a remnant, Yeshua. At that moment, Yeshua, you better daven to be mevatel the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. At that moment, daven. Get rid of it. And if you do so, you're not going to be Yeshua without above. You'll be Yeshua with above. At this moment, you're promised, I will give you above if you get rid of the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. Why? Because you have the time. Because you don't really have to fight. But Yeshua didn't have that, I don't know if you want to say confidence. As soon as he saw Achan do something wrong, take out some of the plunder of Jericho, and they lost at the city of Ai, Yeshua got worried. And he said, oh my gosh, what's happening now? He already made Aleinu L'Shabeach. He was done with Aleinu L'Shabeach. He had already written it after the fall of Jericho. But once he saw that Ai had fallen, he said, now I got to really pay attention to the nation. Now I got to pay attention to everything. And that was a mistake. On the level of Yeshua, granted, but that was a mistake. For that, he loses a hay. For that, he loses it. And because of that, maybe, that's the reason why, says the Maral Diskin, that first word works from the Chassam Sofer. Maral Diskin says that Yeshua's name only appears 30 times in the Torah, not 31. What's 31? The 31 kings of Eretz Yisrael, of Eretz Canaan. There were 31 kings that Yeshua fought. Had he fought them correctly and done everything that he could have done to destroy all those kings, which he did, he destroyed all of them. But if he would have done it in the right way and been the vassal of Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah while he did it, there'd be 31 Yeshuas in the Torah. Now, we have 30 with an extra vav over here to be referenced back to the 31. But now, he doesn't get that 31. Maybe that was a remez of what was going to happen in the future, but he didn't ask for the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah and he didn't end up getting it. Goodbye, the Maran. If we go back for a second, there's a pasuk chaf beis. If you look at this pasuk and you see it for the first time, you wonder a little bit and you say to yourself, that can't really mean what it's saying. It says, Vatikun elai kulchem. You all came up to me, you all gathered against me, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Vatomu, and you said, Nishchalan Hashim lefaneinu, send out men from in front of us, v'yachbaru lanu as ha'aretz, they're going to spy out the land, v'yashivu osanu davor. Anybody want to guess what that means? V'yashivu osanu davor. A report, right? That's the normal. As a derech asher nalava, what road we should go on, as a aram asher nabo land, the cities that we should go to. Rashi says the words, Be'ashibu el son of Davor, Be'eza lashon him medaber. What language are they speaking? You want to bring us back and you want to tell us exactly what language those people in Eretz Canaan are speaking. Why in the world would they need to know that? Who in the world, who cares what language they were speaking? Why would that matter? What would that mean anything to them? And then later on, when it says, v'lavisam lalos, etc., they went ahead and it says, v'yichu v'yadam. They took with their hands me priya arts from the fruit of the land. V'yoridu elenu, they came back down to us. V'yashivu osanu davor. And they came back and they told us, this is the language they were speaking. And all of a sudden, everyone's like, we can't do it. V'yomu tov ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokeinu nosen lanu. The good land is good. V'lavisam lalos, but you didn't want to go up. That was the one thing that they came back with. They came back with, here's the language that they speak. And for some reason, that caused the miracle to happen. Or something like that. What happened? What was that? What was Moshe Rabbeinu asking for? What did Bnei Yisrael do? There's the good, the bad, and the really good. I wasn't going to say the ugly. Don't worry. The good, the bad, and then the really good. We're going to start off with the bad. The Maral Diskin says, unfortunately, a bad shot. It shows that if they were asking for the language, they didn't really want to kill him. Because if they really wanted to kill him, what difference does it make if you know or you don't know the language of the people that you're fighting? Who cares? It must be that you really wanted to keep them alive. And if you wanted to keep them alive, I'm sorry?
Business.
It's business. What do you mean?
The only reason you want to know language is so they can trade with them.
So they could trade. So they'd be able to get involved with them. And eventually, they'll marry into their daughters. Eventually, they'll get into their households. Eventually, they'll know, or they'll learn from them, and they'll do this, and they'll do that. All of a sudden, they have business together, they get involved in them, they're going to get around, and everything's all good. And then all of a sudden, you ready for the dig? Says Merle Diskin, this is the dig, right here, right now. It's just like what we have nowadays. Anybody who learns another language is only doing it to get involved in that nation. So don't be surprised if they end up marrying into that nation, or if they have a child that marries into that nation. Maral Diskin lived in Yerushalayim at the turn of the century, right at the time when they wanted to inculcate Hebrew into the structure of Yerushalayim. It was very, very, they were so makbid on teaching in Yiddish at that time. Rav Shmuel Salant, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, the Maral Diskin, they were so makbid, they wanted to teach only in Yiddish because they were worried. There were a lot of irreligious Zionists that were coming in that they didn't want to mix in with. They didn't want to get involved with the irreligious Zionists. Because of those people who were coming in that were irreligious, they refused to start learning Hebrew. And who knows whether this was, who knows what would end up being in the end if they would have started speaking in Hebrew. And they started coming in and bringing in schools that taught in Hebrew. While the Chadarim, the Cheders, would only speak in Yiddish. And that continues until today. That's why the Shiurim are still in Yiddish. The big top Shiurim in all the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael are all in Yiddish. The reason why is because it started from Shmuel Salant, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, and the Maral Diskin, who refused to change it. He said, and the reason why is because the only reason why you'd want to learn this other language is to start getting involved in them. If you want to start getting involved with those irreligious people, you're going to start becoming like them. And they wanted to keep it separate. Their original idea was to have a separate yeshuv that would be a Haredi enclave, I guess you could say, with its own government. Who knows what would have happened? I'm sorry? That was, they said that everybody else was using Hebrew. Had the yeshuv already used Hebrew before they came there, before all the irreligious had come there, maybe it would have been different. But they didn't. It didn't happen. And unfortunately, it did not work. The Sephardim were well known that they were the ones who ended up going to those schools. And that's what happened. They went to some of the Hebrew schools. The free tuition, those types of things. Sephardim weren't, they weren't used to the different types of people that were coming from Europe. It was their first thing. That's where the Yalde Tehran came from. All these types of things that were brought in. If you don't, if you haven't read the book, what is it? It's Jerusalem. Help me for a second. Guardian of Jerusalem. Guardian of Jerusalem by Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. You never read that? That is one of the best books you will ever read. I'm putting it out right now. Guardian of Jerusalem. It's an art school book. It is one of the best books you will ever read. It's an eye-opener, absolutely eye-opener. It's just an unbelievable sefer, all about all these Gedolim that lived at the turn of the century in Yerushalayim, but mostly about Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld and his greatness. That's what the Maral Diskin says about Bnei Yisrael. That was the problem, was to dig on them. It's saying, Vayeshivu Osanu Davor, they wanted to know the languages so they could hang out with them. Said Bnei Yisrael, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and said Moshe Rabbeinu, what are you joking? You want to hang out with them? You want to do things with them? You want to trade with them? Kill them! You have a mitzvah to kill them! That was their problem. Chasam Sofer says it a little bit better. Every language has a sar in Shemayim. Every language, there's supposed to be 70 languages. There are 70 sarim, 70 angels that are in charge in Shemayim. Eretz Yisrael is different. Eretz Yisrael is under HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is in charge of Eretz Yisrael. There's no malach in Eretz Yisrael. There's no malach in charge. Which means that what should be the language there? Lashon HaKodesh. If they spoke Lashon HaKodesh, said Bnei Yisrael, then that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge of them. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge of them and he's telling us to go to Eretz Yisrael, that means he's kicking them out in order to bring us in. But if they speak another language, that means that they have other angels. And those other angels may be powerful. And even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us we can go there and we can fight, but maybe those Sarim are so powerful, it's going to be bad for us. Maybe we're not going to be able to fight this war. Maybe we're not going to win this war. And that's what Bnei Yisrael was afraid of. They were afraid that the Ayin Sarim were there in Eretz Yisrael. So they said, tell us, what language are they speaking? When they came back, they brought back, and they brought back the message, they're speaking other languages. So they do have other angels in charge. So you've got to be scared that those other angels are going to be fighting against us. That's why Bnei Yisrael got scared. And that's why they said the line, such a crazy line, Ki chazak hu mimenu, who might be stronger than us? The Tsar of those nations may be stronger than us. That's what we have to be worried about. But Lamaisa wasn't true. And we all know this wasn't true. It was just a line that they ended up saying, and it ended up being 100% wrong. But that's why they brought the peros. They showed the fruits. And they compared it to the mun. They said, here's the size of the mun. Here's the size of the fruits. Look how much more powerful they are from us. They're much more powerful. Look what they get and look what we get. It's not comparable. So they thought that they were going to end up dying. I'm sorry? Well, it's not comparable. Meaning their power is much greater than our power. What they have.
Like we put mun in with, what's it called?
100% the mun was greater. But once Bnei Yisrael started on something, it caught them. And this caught them. This is just an excuse. It's not true. It wasn't MS. It was a stupid excuse. It was a stupid taina. But they used it, and that's what was wrong. The good answer, and the final good answer, is also from a Chassam Sofer. He says the following. Melech HaRod was a Amalek dressed in Kanani clothing. They dressed up in Kanani clothing, but they kept their Amaleki language. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz has a beautiful piece on this. If anybody remembers, he says that even the nations of the world know that the language of a nation keeps the nation together. So even though they dressed up to the other nations, you know, so they could fool Klal Yisrael, that Bnei Yisrael would say out loud, save us from the Kananim, when really it was Amalek. So Bnei Yisrael wouldn't, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't help them, their davening would be off. They couldn't change their language. They refused to change their language. They refused to send away the one thing that they knew. So Bnei Yisrael had to daven stam. But it's hard to daven stam and say, save us from this nation. What Bnei Yisrael wanted is they wanted to go and know what language they were speaking so that they knew what to daven to Hashem for. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save us from Yericho, the ones that speak this language. Save us from Yoshvei Gilad, who speak this language. Save us from this place because they speak that language. That's what they wanted to know. They wanted to know what language in order to be able to fight them. Caleb and Yoshua agreed to go because they thought it was a tremendous idea. Let us know the language. That's the really good. That's really, really good. And in the end, the Meraglim said they're too powerful, but that wasn't there. Look what Shaora also adds on. They could say they can know what the other nations are saying in war. If you know Arabic, and you hear Arabs talking to each other, and you're on the Israeli side, you'll be able to know what they're saying, and you'll know how to be able to fight them. So they wanted to know the other language to be able to fight them in the middle of the war. That makes a lot of sense, like stealing signs in baseball. Once you steal the signs and you know what's going on, you know it's going to be a fastball or a slider or something on the outside or the inside of the plate, you'll know what's going on. It's like stealing those signs. The Taz says it's because they didn't know what they wanted to make sure that there were people from Eretz Canaan that they were going to kill, regardless of all those answers. Lamaisa, when it boils down to it, it's the Maldiskin that should scare you the most. The fact is that sometimes we forget where we are. Sometimes we forget what we're doing. Sometimes we forget that there's a base of Mikdash that was destroyed during this week. Sometimes we just forget it. Because, you know, to be honest with you, I'm not living that bad of a life. Yeah, I could use this or I could use that, and there's probably a couple things that I could get better. I would love to have a convertible on certain days. But I'm pretty much, I don't think I can complain about anything. Sometimes we forget that. And we say to ourselves, like, Kadosh Baruch Hu, as long as you leave it like this, I could do for a couple more years until Mashiach comes. Give me another year or two. Sometimes we forget that. It's so sad that we're forgetting 60 years ago, what happened in Eastern Europe. So sad that we're forgetting what happened 100 years ago throughout the entire world with pogroms and with the anti-Semitism that happened in America. Granted, we are living in a Medina Shel Chesed, there's no question. And the amount of abilities that we are given here, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed us to have while we're here, is tremendous. But this is the worst galus. You don't realize it's galus. You have a soul like this. You have houses like we do. You have cars like we do. You don't really have any problems. We have credit cards that basically take care of everything for us, and we can pay them back, and we really don't have any issues. And you just sit there, and you're like, well, can Mashiach be much better than this? Heck yeah, he's going to be better than this. We just don't realize what we're missing. This is what you're supposed to think about now. You're supposed to think about, and especially when it comes to Tisha B'Av, you don't realize what life would be like if it would be perfect. This is nothing. This is nothing. This is the time of suffering and confusion where you're sitting there like, I don't even know if there's a God out there. This is nothing. A constant barrage of godliness, a constant barrage of wanting to do mitzvos and wanting to learn and not being able, not having to go just because I'm being forced or anything like that, or because I feel like I have to, but because you want to, that rut zone that's there, there's nothing like it. And we're just not there. We're just not there. That's what you have to doubt him for now. Say, I want to Mashiach to come. I just want to want it. I don't want it right now, but I want to be able to want it. That's what you want to do. And start leading yourself into that. But Israel didn't think they wanted it. And they didn't want it. And they didn't try hard enough. And it failed. But that's the idea behind all this. So we started off the summary. Korach and Mun led to the sin of the Egel Azov. You judge yourself based on your own experiences. You judge your own din in Shemayim. Is it that you can't or that you won't? With the story of Rav Zusha, we said Yoshua had a chance for perfection to be able to add on that extra vav, but he didn't do it because on his level he didn't trust the Havtacha, the assurance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why did they need to know the language? Was it a good thing? Was it a bad thing? Was it an okay thing? What was it? The three answers that we gave, two from Lechassam Sofer, one from the Maral Diskin, the Levusha, or the Taz, etc. But that's what we're going to end up with. Have a good Shabbos.